was Sigrid and Sucker Punch, or Sucker Punch, as she says it. No, she says it and sings it a lot better than I do. Now, joining me in studio is the incredibly talented Aidan Hart, the author behind the Wave Trilogy, animator and sculptor who has created works across Ireland. Now, Aidan is joining me because he's turned his hand to telling the story of Lugs Brannigan, one of the most famous Gardaí in Ireland. It's his first children's book. Now, Aidan, before we get into the book, I suppose people will recognise your name because we've spoken to you before on the show. And among many other things, you were the artist behind the Pooka statue in Clare. So can you remind people a little bit about it?
Yeah, well, that was my first public sculpture, and Ray Darcy was a big champion of it because it ran into a bit of trouble. There was a bit of controversy. It's in its original location in Ennisdiamon. There was some people who weren't too hot on it. But we eventually relocated it to Carn in the Michael Cusack Centre.
Oh, I've been down there. It's a great spot.
Yeah, well, it's the birth of the GAA. So the Pooka's been, he's been good to Clare this year.
That's what I'm actually thinking as the Cork person. I'm like, maybe he brought you a little bit too much luck, to be honest.
Yeah, it's powerful stuff.
Is it true, actually, if you rub the, is it the Pooka's toe, you get luck or something?
It's polished to pure brassy now.
There'll be people going down there now to the Michael Cusack Centre, rubbing the toe to get the look. Okay, so let's talk a little bit so about your book. Tell us about Lugs Brannigan. Who was he and why was he famous?
Well, he was, I'd say in the middle of the last century, he was the most famous, notorious, impressive Garda in Ireland. And for like a certain generation, he would still be, but the memory's fading, and my intention with this book is to bring it back, especially for a younger generation. And like I said, I'm a sculptor, but my first bronze that I cast was in the Liberties. So that was, a few years ago. But I got to know the Liberties a bit then, and you hear the name Lugs around there. And like every so often you hear on, you know, social media or stuff, whenever there's a story about crime, people say, bring back Lugs Brannigan. And you get the impression that they think he's Dirty Harry mixed with RoboCop or something like that. And he was, you know, he was a tough character, no doubt. But the aim of this book is to tell the full story of Lugs and the Dublin that he grew up in.
And when you were writing the book, like, who did you imagine was going to be ultimately reading it?
I wrote it with Sheila Armstrong. And, it's a children's book. So in 2012, Kevin Kearns wrote a biography, like an up-to-date biography of Lugs Brannigan, and that was for adults. But to me, the story of Lugs is, or like his name was Jim Brannigan, and he actually hated the name Lugs. He was called Lugs because he had big ears. He's most famous for taming the animal gangs. And it's like a wild kind of semi-cartoonish story. And my first job was in animation, so I kind of was appealed, the fantastic elements of the story appealed to me.
You were drawn to him.
So I just thought it would be great for kids. But a lot of kids' books these days are, they're inspirational stories about scientists and whatnot. But when I was growing up, I was reading stories about, you know, cowboys and Indians and like Genghis Khan and Julius Caesar and stuff, like mayhem and all that kind of stuff. So it's more on the horrible history end of the thing.
Yeah, there's a humour through it. And
there is, yeah. I mean, it's a funny, there's definitely wild elements of humour and very eccentric things happen in it.
Now, alongside the law, what else was Lugs Brannigan good at?
Well, he was a great boxer. He was, but not when he was growing up. He was a scrawny kid on his own admission, and he was kind of bullied growing up, and that kind of, I guess that might maybe drew him to the guards because he wanted to defend the weak. But he never actually boxed before he got into the guards. He grew up very tall. He was like 6'4" at the height, but there was, you know, at this stage, there was no, it was only male only guards, and the height restrictions were very strong, and he had to have a 42-inch waist or in chest, and he didn't have that, so he went into training, did cross-country running and rowing and all this stuff, and he got in, and then when he's in the guards, they basically are in the training in the Phoenix Park at the time, it wasn't Temple Moor, they put him in the ring just on day one, and he got the head box off, obviously. And then day two, same thing, and kept at it. Day seven, I think he punched back, and when he opened his eyes, the lad was on the floor. And so a legend was born.
He had a bit of something in him. I have to say, like, even flicking through the book, one of the things that I love about it as well is there's little just snippets of history in there. And as a children's book as well, the fact that you're weaving it in throughout the story, and it's almost like at significant moments in history, whether it's, you know, the Easter Rising or World War II, and it's about how Dublin was during those times. So it's an interesting spin in it. How did you find the process then of weaving that history through the book?
Well, I wrote it with Sheila Armstrong, and like my initial text that I gave to Gil and the pitch was like very much a much shorter thing, concentrating on lugs. And Sheila is like, you know, a great editor and a proper writer now. And she lives on the outskirts of Liberty, so she'd be running into grannies with stories about lugs as well.
Brilliant.
But she kind of helped me expand the story into like to show the proper the historical context, which is very important because, like, it's hard for us to imagine, but Dublin was shocking poor back then. Mm. And smaller, very kind of close-knit communities, especially the Liberties, which is like a kind of world unto its own. There was people there that, you know, they never like crossed the Liffey. It was just like that was their world. Yeah. And Lugs was definitely part of that world. He was born and bred there, grew up, and he's known for, you know, having fist fights with people and like being a tough guy. But really, he was walking the streets every day, talking to the people of the Liberties. You know, the street sellers, they all knew him. And he kind of always looked out for the other colourful characters on the streets, like, you know, Bang Bang and 40 Cuts.
I was going to say Johnny 40 Cuts.
Johnny 40 Cuts. And
yeah, and I suppose, like, the book isn't just about the story of Lugs. Like, it's filled with loads of these little fun facts. Like, I'm a Cork woman now, up in Dublin here today. And there was a time where I'd be crossing time zones to get home the train, wouldn't there? Like, even that, I thought that was really fascinating about the railway times.
Yeah, well, some would say Cork is still running on its own schedule.
But probably.
Yeah, I think like Ireland only joined Greenwich Mean Time in 1916, oddly enough. So yeah, it was, and the trains were much more widespread at the time, more important. That was his first job before he became a guard. He left school at 14 and joined the railway, and
that was where he got his nickname, wasn't it? Because
they were hard on him because it was very clannish kind of family. Mm. But once he joined the guards, and especially once he did start with the boxing, because the boxing club were like 100%, they were mad into the fitness, and he became a heavyweight champion of Leinster eventually. But like, he was like obviously a big strong man, but I wouldn't say the most skillful boxer. Like, he was one of these Frank Bruno types who you know, take three to the head to get one in. And after he got the championship, like, the doctor told him, keep this up and, you know, there's no more, you won't be, you know, doing any more crosswords. So he kind of knocked it on the head, and then he just basically was a referee in the National Stadium. So he refed like thousands of matches right up until the 70s.
Now, I do want to take a moment as well for the illustrations, because you're an artist by trade and you've done some incredible things in animation. Was this your first chance to have a go at a kid's book illustration? Like, how did you even come up with the wonderful illustrations?
Well, I mean, like, when I was reading the story, I was thinking about these Desperate Dan comics I read as a kid. And he was very into cowboy comics, cowboy films. And that's what I was trying to get across with the illustrations.
Can you describe one of them for people? Just let's paint a picture here for them on the radio.
Well, in the 1940s, this is when Lugs became a legend. He had tackled the animal gangs, and there was the Battle of Baldoyle Races and the Battle of Talca Park. And the animal gangs were, there were gangs in New York, and it was just a name that was going around, or gangs rather in Dublin, and it was just the names that was going around. They were animals. That's what the papers called them. And they're just, you know, corner boys who used to go at each other. But every so often they would do it in public events. So the Baldoyle races, you know, the finery were out like on a big day, and they turned up and they went, the gangs turned up and went at each other with, like, they had no guns, but, like, you know, axes, chains, some guy had a bayonet. But Lugs heard about this, and he got the word out, and the guards came along and broke it up. So I have an illustration in the book of basically the Battle of Baldoyle, which is like a kind of World War II scenario with people flying in the air, a dog biting someone on the leg. So just some, like, it seemed like larger in life and kind of silly. Maybe it's because it's so far, like, it's so far in the past.
But younger people and adults alike would love those illustrations because you're really bringing the stories to life and even flicking through the pages. You know, mightn't even have to read the story to actually understand what's going on. You'd be curious to read the story after looking at the illustration.
Well, yeah, that's exactly the intention. And like, it's a real person. So I was kind of, we were conscious about that we didn't want to, wanted to do him justice, mm-hmm. basically. And I got contacted by his grandson, actually, who heard there was a book coming out.
Amazing.
Trevor Brannigan. So I think he might be listening in. So hello to Trevor and his father, Alex. So, yeah, they seemed happy that the legend is being kept alive.
Yeah, absolutely. And now it's in a lovely hardback copy as well for them forevermore. So you've solidified his legacy and it'll keep going forward. And of course, if you would like to hear more about Lugs Brannigan, Aidan's book is out now in all good bookstores, wherever you get your books from, or your books, as they might say,
Bukes.
In the Liberties. Aidan Hart, thank you so much for coming in. Congratulations on the book and the very best of luck with it. Back after these.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.